Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hi, I'm Laura, and welcome to Sleepy Bear Podcast. As someone who struggles with insomnia, I have found sleep podcasts to be incredibly helpful and wanted to add to the anthology that already exists. Sleepy Bear Podcast will have episodes ranging from guided meditations, relaxing stories, reading and making lists, and much more. Each episode will be interesting enough to keep your mind off of anything causing you stress, but boring enough that you don't particularly care if you fall asleep. I hope to provide you with a calming ambiance and help you relax, guide you to sleep, and keep you company. Let's begin our night by getting into bed, getting into a comfy position, and gently closing our eyes. We will begin breathing deeply through the nose, holding for a few seconds, and then breathing out through the mouth. Breathing this way slows our heart rates, helps calm anxiety, and therefore helps us feel sleepy. Okay, start breathing in. Hold. And breathe out. And again, breathe in. Hold. And breathe out. We'll keep doing this a few more times. Very good. You may continue breathing this way, or however you'd like, whatever makes you most comfortable. Today's episode, and first episode, is about what I have learned as a dog owner, particularly what I've learned as a new dog owner. I rescued my dog in November of 2022 from a rescue in rural Pennsylvania. When they brought him out to me, I started crying. It was literally love at first sight. And as I record this, my dog is sitting next to me on the couch, taking a nap. He's very cute. Any dog owner will tell you that they've learned a lot from owning a dog, and sometimes have learned things from their dog. First, and perhaps most obvious, I learned how much you need when you first get a dog. A crate, food, toys, pee pads, just in case. Poop bags, several leashes, collars, a harness maybe, a bunch of treats, more toys, a bed, or five if you're my dog, and just having money in general. I always knew that having a dog would cost money, but until I actually rescued him, I had no idea. So if you're looking to get a dog, or any pet really, make sure your finances are in line. Two. How stressful and anxiety-inducing it can be. And I think a lot of people feel this way, but never say anything. This anxiety can cause lack of sleep, which it did for me, because I was so worried about what would happen to my dog overnight. But sleep podcasts, like this one, helped me move past that anxiety and help relax at night. I wanted a dog my entire life. I asked my parents every Christmas and birthday for a dog. I promised I would take care of it and they wouldn't have to do anything. I dreamed of the day I would get my own dog. When that day finally came, I was a nervous wreck. I was so anxious. What had I just done? I was now in charge of this precious life. Would I still be able to live how I lived before? Could I leave my apartment for more than a quick trip to the grocery store? I felt like I completely upended my world. but I loved this dog so much already. I would do anything for this dog. But what if something happened to him? What if he got sick or hurt? What if he hated me? What if we never bonded? What if I'm a bad dog owner? All of these questions plagued me for the first few weeks. I constantly had butterflies and was anxious about every little thing. I cried multiple times a day. I thought I was the worst person that had ever existed. How could someone feel this way about the sweetest dog ever? I had enough of feeling like this, so of course went to Google to see if I was normal, or if I was truly the awful person I thought I was. Turns out, people go through the puppy blues, a version of the baby blues that some postpartum moms go through. Now, I'm not a mom, and have not gone through the work and chemical changes that happen during and after pregnancy, so I can't talk about what the baby blues feels like, or how it's most likely a lot worse than the puppy blues. But just knowing that other people had felt this way lifted a weight off of me. It turns out several of my friends and my sister had gone through this. Going through these feelings made me keenly more aware of my mental health. As someone who has anxiety and depression, as well as someone who's an insomniac, I knew I had to go back to therapy to healthily deal with all of this. I learned I had to keep up with my health, both mental and physical, in order to be what my dog needed. I couldn't let myself wither away. When I fully got over the puppy blues, it was because of one of my best friends. He took me to dinner and drinks, knowing how stressed I was. He basically forced me out of my apartment. I am so grateful he did. I was terrified that if I left my dog alone for more than 20 minutes, that he would cry, destroy things, and generally be unhappy, and I couldn't bear the thought of him being sad. My friend and I were only out for an hour or two, but those hours were immensely important. I learned that I can go out for longer periods of time, and my dog will be okay. I do recommend, if you are going through this, have a friend distract you and take you out for a few hours, and you'll probably learn that your dog was just fine. Number 3, training stuff. In terms of training, I learned a lot. I hired a trainer for the first few months of being a dog owner. I learned how to teach my dog to do a few tricks, many of which became super important later on, such as wait. I learned that my dog is a player, a term used by our trainer. He knows how to play people like a fiddle and will do most things for a treat. However, he's a player, as there are times where he will only do something if there's a treat involved. He knows that I want him to sit, but will only do it if he knows he's getting a treat. This taught me I have to be tough and strict with him. Dogs need structure and rules, so by not giving in to him, he eventually learned to do things without treats. I'll admit, it was hard not to give him treats when he didn't do what I asked, because he's so damn cute and uses those puppy eyes to get what he wants. I also learned, through a dog training podcast, of which I listened to many during those first few months, that the average dog only needs 2 20-minute walks a day. This is not to say that it's only 2 bathroom breaks, but 2 actual walks. This helped with my anxiety, as one thought that I had was that we'd be constantly out on walks. Granted, I learned my dog loves walks, so now we do more than 2 20-minute walks, but in theory, those 2 walks should give your dog enough stimulation. But every dog is different. My sister's dog does not like being outside. She only goes out to use the bathroom and then runs back in the house. 4. I'm capable of more than I had thought. I have always had very strong mama bear instincts, but when I rescued my dog, they tripled. I can only imagine what will happen if I have children. I would literally do anything for my dog. I personally believe it's cringy when people call their dogs their children, but I have to admit I've done it. And my dog just snored as I was recording this, so you might have heard it. But, you know, that's how I feel about him, that he is my child. I would put my life on the line for him. I've literally put my body in between him and an unleashed dog that charged at us while trying to get to my dog. One time, his harness broke while on a walk, and he got into the street. I literally ran into the street to get him, not thinking twice about the cars. Granted, that may have been a little dumb on my part, but my point stands. Before getting him, would I have run out in the street to protect something or someone? Probably not, unless it was my immediate family. And even then, who knows? I think it's because dogs are childlike and can't necessarily take care of themselves in these instances. I learned that I am capable of more than I thought. I am able to take care of a living being and am a responsible adult, at least when it comes to him. He's shown me how much I have grown over the past few years. 5. Things I've learned from my dog. Enjoy the small things. The excitement of a new treat or an interesting smell on the sidewalk. These are just little things, but they get his tail wagging just the same. If he can be happy just getting to smell a new smell, I should also enjoy the little things. I also learned that I need to be open to new people. He loves people and always wants to say hi. I'm an introvert and quite shy, but have begun to challenge myself to be more outgoing. He has also helped me meet new people. Everyone wants to say hi to the cute dog. I also learned life does not need to be perfect. My dog will eat the weird piece of chicken just like he'd eat the perfect piece. We should just appreciate what we have and what we are given. As cliche as it sounds, I learned how much I could love something. Of course, I love my family and close friends, but this love is different. It's not an intrinsic love that comes with family, but not a love that builds over time like with friends or a partner. This love was immediate and so strong. My heart has grown so much over the past few years of having my dog. I literally tear up when I think of not having him around anymore. Now, I'll tell you a little bit about my dog, so you can learn about him just like you've learned a little bit about me. My dog's name is Teddy. He is between 3 and 4 years old. I rescued him from a rescue in rural Pennsylvania, like I mentioned. He is a mini Labradoodle. However, a few months ago, I was curious if he was actually a mini Labradoodle, as the people who had surrendered him to the rescue did not keep the best records, nor did they take the best care of him. So I did the, 23andMe, Ancestry.com, all of whichever one of those doggy DNA tests. I took the Q-tip, swabbed his mouth, which he did not like, but I understand. I also don't like when people shove things in my mouth. It turns out he is basically a mini Labradoodle, but in addition to the miniature poodle and the Labrador, he also has a little bit of Bichon Frise. He's about 23 pounds, give or take, depending on how long his hair is. He is a blackish-grayish mix. I've honestly only ever seen one other dog with his coloring, so I think he's pretty rare, which is pretty cool for me. When I rescued him, the rescue said he was between 1 and 2, so at this point I say he's between 3 and 4. He still acts like a puppy, has a lot of energy, but definitely knows when it's time to relax, to take a nap, and like I said before, he's currently napping next to me on the couch right now. He's got curly hair, and when it's cut really short, which it is now to prepare for the summer, he looks like a baby deer. Sometimes he looks like a meerkat or a seal. When it gets a little bit longer, he looks like a llama. He also looks like a teddy bear, hence why I named him Teddy. It's a little on the nose, but the name fits him so well. There's literally no other name I could even imagine for him. When his hair gets really long, it gets super curly and fluffy. His head looks like a pom-pom. His fur currently is pretty short, but feels like crushed velvet when you pet him. So sometimes I'll just sit there and run my hands over his soft little body, and he doesn't mind as he loves all the attention. His nose is little and black and wet. Honestly, sometimes reminds me of a stuffed animal nose. You know, those plastic ones that have the like little bumps on them. Very reminiscent of a Beanie Baby. Teddy loves treats. He loves food in general. I think his favorite is chicken. For special occasions, I make him, you know, a nice boiled chicken breast. Or if his tummy's upset, chicken breast and rice. He goes crazy over chicken and seems to always know when I'm making something specifically for him. He always seems to know when things are for him, whether it's a package or a toy or clothes. He always knows what's his and what's mine, which I'm very grateful for. He loves to go out on walks. He loves to run around and smell things. He's very agile. He can jump pretty dang high, I will say. I'm not a huge fan of dog parks, but I've taken him to a few. And, you know, when he's off-leash and raring to go, he is so fast. Other dogs, you know, try and chase him, but he just flies. It's very funny to watch my sister's dog chase him. She's fast, but he is just so much faster. I've been thinking about getting him into agility work. Granted, that's a bit expensive hobby to get into, and I'd have to find somewhere near where I live that does it. But I think he would really thrive. I think he would love it. He gets very excited when I pull out a collar. He's naked at home. He doesn't wear a collar, really. He wears a harness with all his tags out when we go for walks and when we leave the apartment. But at home, he doesn't wear anything. So he's always super excited when a collar comes out. I think he knows that it means we're going somewhere. It's kind of similar when I put a sweater on him in the wintertime or a jacket when it's cold out. I do have a few little outfits for him, you know, for Halloween or Christmas, Christmas sweater. He does get excited to put those on, unless there's a headpiece or a hood. He does not like that. Does not want anything on his head other than, you know, your hand when you're petting him. But he looks so darn cute in his little Christmas tree sweater or his shirt that says, I love Cookie, which is my sister's dog's name. My favorite is a bow tie for Valentine's Day. It's a white, you know, white collar base with a bow tie, but then has pink and red lipstick kisses on it and hearts. It is just the cutest thing. Every Valentine's Day I put him in it, and we get many compliments when we go for walks. I'm actually looking at a picture of him right now wearing it, and it's my favorite picture of him. He loves toys, absolutely loves toys. My apartment tends to be covered in them. You know, it's very common to accidentally step on a toy and hear a squeak. His favorite is currently Lamb Chop. Apparently, a lot of dogs love Lamb Chop. I think there's an article out there. I only saw the headline, but an article out there about why. Have not read it, but it'd be really interesting too. He loves his Lammy, but he has so many toys. Another favorite of his is an octopus, this purple octopus. Actually, I think it's a squid. I think there's only six legs that we play tug of war with. He loves tug of war. So we'll play with the squid, we'll play with some rope toys. He has a very fun one back at my parents' house that is margarita themed. So there's the rope, and then on the rope there are three different squeaky toys. There is a lime, there is salt, and then there's like a margarita glass. It's very funny. My family, we love margaritas. So when I saw that toy, I knew I had to buy it for Teddy. So he could join in on the fun. He also loves to chew, but, you know, only his toys. He never chews furniture, never chews shoes, Like I said before, he seems to know what is for him and what is for me. He's a very smart boy. A little sneaky sometimes, but very smart. He also loves bully sticks, which are a special treat. He only gets those every now and then, particularly if I'm on an important phone call to keep him occupied. But he loves that. He loves to go to the pet store. He loves to walk around, smell everything. He's got a good nose on him. That was also another reason why I wanted to do the DNA test, is because of how scent focused he is. You know, that is a very common trait in a lot of hounds. So I was curious if he had maybe some sort of hound in him. You know, it probably would have been like a beagle, just based on the size of Teddy and size of beagles. But nope, no hound in him. He loves going to the pet store. He really does. We went the other day because I needed some new pill pockets. He has allergies, so we give him allergy pills. When I say we, I mean me. Using the royal we here. But he takes allergy medicine in the springtime sometimes. And we'd ran out of pill pockets, so I decided, you know, I'll take him and we'll go to the store. And, you know, we went and we're walking around. And I always buy him a treat at the end. You know, they always have those big, like, cookie cases with all the different dog cookies that you can buy. With, like, the dog-friendly icing. And all the cute little sayings. Like, there's one that says, like, I'm a naughty boy, I'm a good boy. I bought him one this time of a green bunny, since it's almost Easter when I'm recording, and he loved it, but he was so excited, and I was kind of worried he was going to try and steal one from the cookie case when I opened it up to grab the bunny, but thankfully one of the workers there said, oh, we got a bunch of broken ones, would he like a piece now, and gave him a piece of a broken cookie that had come in. He ate it up. Oh my gosh. He was so excited to get that treat. He's very good and knows when he gets a treat, he has to sit. First thing to do, you sit, you get a treat. He's very good at that. But loves the pet store. He also likes being in the car. You know, I'll put on his harness, and if I pick up his car seat harness, he gets so excited. Oh, we're going somewhere. Where are we going? So he will hop right in the car, you know, tail wagging, super excited. The only time he doesn't like being in the car is when we're not moving. So being stuck in traffic, not a fan of that. Or if I haven't turned the car on yet because I'm putting in directions on Google Maps, he doesn't like that either. So he loves moving, he relaxes and sleeps, and then when he gets out of the car, is just so excited to be wherever he is. If it's the vet, he's only excited, you know, for first few minutes, but if it's my parents' house, if it's my sister's house, if it's a friend's house, you know, wherever we're going, if it's the pet store, the park, he is so happy that he is getting to explore somewhere new. One of my favorite things that he does is when I sit on the couch and the couch is pressed up against a wall, he will climb on the back of the couch and then sit around my shoulders, put his head on my shoulder, and just hang out there for a while. It is absolutely the cutest thing. I have so many selfies of him doing that. So many pictures of him doing it to my family members and friends. It is just so sweet. And when he does it, you feel so chosen and honestly so loved. He is just the love bug of all love bugs. I am incredibly lucky to have this little guy in my life. And, you know, I did deal with the puppy blues. And while dealing with the puppy blues was not fun, I did learn a lot, as mentioned earlier in this episode. Oh, he's still on the couch with me, but he just rolled over onto his back, So now his belly is up in the air, as are his paws. And he's still just hanging out, chilling with me. Possibly still asleep, unsure. Head is up. I think he's awake. One of my favorite things that he does while sleeping, if you haven't noticed, I have a lot of favorite things about him, but when he's sleeping and he's dreaming, I love all the little, like, noises he makes, when his paws are moving. It's just, there's something about it that is just so sweet and so innocent. Sometimes I do worry that maybe he's having, you know, not a nice dream, but I think for the most part, what he dreams about is probably me, probably food, probably going on walks. That's what I'm guessing. I think that's what scientists and vets say the common things are that dogs dream about. It's mainly their people, which I feel honored. I dream about him as well. I've heard of the concept of soul dogs, like soulmates, you know, between people, but instead of a person, it's a dog. Kind of self-explanatory, right? But your soul dog is the dog that you have this deep connection with. I have friends and family members who have had several dogs, several pets, but there is always one that is their soul dog, one that stood out among the rest. You know, they loved all their pets, loved them all, but there's one that just, something about them just connected them to each other. And while Teddy is my first dog, I definitely feel that he is my soul dog. You know, he brings out the best in me. As cheesy as that sounds, and as cliche as that sounds, it may be kind of weird to be saying that about a dog, but I am so lucky and so in love with this little dog. Dogs and animals, but you know, we're speaking purely about dogs right now. Dogs are such a gift and so amazing. And I know it's a meme out there that, you know, humans don't deserve dogs. But I think it's honestly quite true. Think about it. How many times have you made mistakes? But your dog doesn't care. Your dog still loves you. You know, maybe you had a bad day at work, but you come home, your dog's tail is wagging. They're just so happy to see you. What did we do to deserve these sweet, sweet animals? I don't know. But I'm very happy that we do have them. Good night. If you have yet to fall asleep, don't worry. Don't stress about it. You will fall asleep. That I can guarantee. So do not stress. Just relax. May I recommend doing more of the breathing in through the nose? Hold, and out through the mouth. I do this if I haven't been able to fall asleep after listening to a podcast. I keep my eyes closed and just focus on my breath. It's a good way to keep your mind focused on something, but not too focused on something majorly important. Breathe in. Hold and breathe out. Keep doing this. Eventually, your eyelids will feel heavier and heavier and heavier until you feel like you won't be able to open them at all. Keep breathing. Be like my dog. Relaxed, comfortable. Eyes closed, chest moving up and down with each deep breath. Keep breathing and sleep well. Good night.